Okay, so let's turn a corner. That's a pretty good indication.
If you're like, in other news.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the No Sidebar Podcast. I am your host, Brian Gardner, and I'm here to discuss the struggles around being and becoming a creative entrepreneur. Together, we'll identify what stands in the way of you building and growing your online business. No Sidebar is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for writers, designers, podcasters, and other online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Okay, so you might be noticing a trend around No Sidebar. Simple, intentional, clutter-free. These are words that were used to describe a lot of what we do and so on. The ideology applies to the rebrand of the website that we recently went through, but it also carries out to the types of people we like to have here on the show. So today's guest is a good friend of mine, someone who, like Joshua Becker, I had the very distinct pleasure of working with on their own site design. She's the creator of a website called Be More With Less, a minimalist fashion movement called Project 333, and was recently seen here in Chicago on WGN-TV. Please welcome my friend Courtney Carver. Courtney, how are you doing today?
Hi, Brian. I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's so good to have you on the show. I know we have a lot in common, and we've talked many times on Skype, and I just felt like it was time to just bring you on the show. So, you know, there's lots of your life that I want to talk about. So without going too fast, I just want to just kind of get right into it.
Yeah, let's jump in.
Okay, so Be More With Less. This is your blog. It's something you started, which is about simplifying life and quote-unquote really living. Beyond that, it's grown into a thriving community of like-minded folks. Can you just tell us how that came about and a little bit behind the story there?
Yes, I started the blog in 2010, May of 2010, while I was working full-time in advertising sales, ironically enough. And 4 years prior to that, had been diagnosed with MS after many years, decades even, of a really stressful, busy lifestyle that probably didn't look very different from many other people. You know, there was just information coming from everywhere, too many things to do. I would work through feeling sick and just felt like I had to keep pushing and pushing and going and going and trying to make ends meet. And while that MS diagnosis was not my first wake-up call, it was the one that really stopped me in my tracks and really gave me permission to evaluate what was happening and why had I created the life that I did and how could I make it different and better. And how could I live well in the face of chronic illness? So that was really my catalyst for simplifying, and the blog is that really that story and an extension of that.
It's interesting that things, diagnoses, deaths, you know, whatever, and not that everyone necessarily has those depths of these types of things, but it seems like the story of a minimalist or someone who's gone out to set intentionally to live more simple, there's some story or nugget or something that says, hey, this was my wake-up moment. You know, my wife threatened to leave me because I was working too much, or in your case, it was a health issue. But I'm pretty sure that behind the scenes of every person that kind of is going through this, that there is that aha moment where they realize, you know, enough is enough, and I've let this go too far. I've, you know, spent too much. I've focused too much in the wrong side of things, and it's really great kind of from your perspective to come in and tell your story, because it's as authentic as it gets, right? I mean, this is your story that you're telling. And so there's nothing anybody can say against that. And obviously it resonates with so many people because you've built a very successful blog. You've built a community probably as a byproduct of that. My guess is that you didn't go out to say, I'm going to go out and build a community of like-minded folks. It just kind of happened as a result of, you know, you and your authentic story. Is that right?
A little bit. I really was excited to connect with other people who were going through a similar journey. And while the catalyst of that journey may look very different, I've learned so much from the people that I've connected with through my blog and through other people's blogs or social media. Like, it's just a really small world in the big internet world when you really start talking about what matters to you. I think that's a surefire way to connect quickly to the right people. And when I say that, I just mean the people that resonate with your story and that you can learn from and grow with.
Yeah, the thing I like about what you just said is that it was you learning from the people rather than them learning from you. I mean, after all, this is your property, right? Your web property. The types of communities that thrive, I think, are the ones that feel very symbiotic in that you tell your story, they resonate, but it goes back and forth. There's not teacher-student type of thing. And I think for me, No Sidebar, I hope is becoming that type of community and environment too, that as much as I'm sharing what I've gone through from a design standpoint, from a life standpoint, and the changes that I've decided to make, I hope that resonates with other people, but I hope to learn from other people. And you're a great example of that type of relationship where I learn from you and what you've gone through because we're like-minded and, you know, we have mutual friends like Joshua Becker and others kind of in that space. And I really do hope that it's, you know, a lot of us learning from each other rather than it becoming us trying to teach everybody our way.
It has to be that way for me, especially because I obviously didn't know what I was doing up until that point. You know, I was really kind of focused on just getting by and figuring it out as I went. And so now to have such great connection and information and things to consider in that space to consider those things, it just feels like this enormous blessing to have the blog, which is my business, but it's also my life. And I'm just so grateful for all of it. And I know that can sound, sometimes I feel like it might sound a little trite, but it really is just my heart.
That type of authenticity really shines through. I mean, from people that I've seen respond to comments on your blog and stuff like that, I definitely think your heart conveys the message to other people and it's received. Well, let's talk about Project 333 a little bit. Minimalist fashion challenge that you created, which invites others to dress in 33 items or less for 3 months. Now, was that sort of an evolution of Be More With Less? In other words, you had the blog, it was kind of blanket simple living, but this was kind of a very specific call to action, right? Something very tangible. I know in the context of quote unquote live a simple life, sometimes it's hard to say, well, that's great. Where do I start with that, right? Give me something practical or some sort of tangible direction. Project 333 is exactly that.
Yes. And my simplicity journey has really evolved very slowly, very gently over time. But I really felt like I needed some kind of experiment or challenge to kickstart things. And so it started as a blog post on Be More With Less to announce my personal challenge of dressing with 33 items or less and to invite people to join in if they didn't think it was completely crazy or that I was completely crazy. And it kind of took on this life of its own. It's just been growing ever since, really, as a standalone thing. So there's a lot of people that know about Project 333 that have no idea about Be More With Less.
So in that regard, it indirectly, I know this isn't what you intended, but it kind of serves as a lead gen, right, into and probably it goes both ways, right? Where Be More With Less introduces people to Project 333 and vice versa. And so it's kind of a unique way to bring people in kind of on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, it works like that in some cases. I think people, you know, when they discover the benefits of dressing with less and that they see that there's an opportunity to live with less in other areas of their home, they take that next step and vice versa. Some people have been really gently simplifying and they see this as an opportunity to really see a big difference quickly.
So the really cool thing about this is I'm going to call this kind of the quote trinity of your online life, because there's clearly interest in the niche of minimalism and simple living and all of that. And so you have built a big following, lots of fans and people spreading the word and whatnot. So this kind of takes me over to the third property you have right now, which is CourtneyCarver.com, which I suppose we could just kind of call the professional business side of the business that you've created, you know, freelancing. And so what you've done is you've shared your story, you've built an audience, you've kind of become an authoritative figure in the space. Now you have the luxury to build a business around what started kind of was a passion play, you know, storytelling thing, to really changing other people's lives who need help and need some guidance kind of in how that can work for their life. Let's talk about the freelance side of this just a little bit.
Sure. Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I have a lot of changes in mind for what that's going to look like. But right now, it is CourtneyCarver.com is sort of the like my virtual headquarters, I guess, and where I've historically talked about more of the business side of things and how to enjoy your work and thrive as a creative entrepreneur. I've had the great fortune of working with people on a like a one-on-one coaching level, and then also within some larger workshop events. However, I'm looking at changing a lot of those things. Really, to simplify, believe it or not, it's something that I am passionate about. So I want to simplify what I offer and how I offer it and really make it more of a seamless experience for people.
Now, it's funny how this is now sort of kind of the second iteration of me personally working with a simple person and having them come to me and say, I have a number of web properties, which ironically are about simple living in various forms. And I want to consolidate that. Tish Oxenreiter was probably 2 years ago, we connected about taking all of her simple sites, which were 5 or 6 at the time. And she said, this is all about simple, but now I've got 6 websites that I have to manage. And so now we need to consolidate. And her and I had a number of great conversations just kind of around that. And you and I have had some, at least 2 or 3 conversations very specifically about 3 web properties. How can they come together? Where does it make sense? Where is there overlap? And a lot of it just comes down to being intentional. You know, when we start to build a business, things kind of start to accumulate, not necessarily in a tangible way, but just in things we want to offer and things we want to write about. And it kind of gets to a point where we're like, okay, now I've got all of these going on. I can see that my schedule is becoming more and more hours per week. And it's great because I love this, but there needs to be like an efficiency factor where, you know, you kind of have to kind of come back and have that Jerry Maguire fewer clients moment where, you know, you realize, okay, I need to focus very intentionally on some very specific things now. Otherwise, I just run inefficiently and I'm not satisfied and so on. So funny you mentioned the changes, and we can cut this out of the show if you decide not to, but it was 6 on my question list, which was, can we talk about that? Just because I think a lot of, you know, business entrepreneurial types out there might gain some knowledge and wisdom just kind of with the psychology behind consolidating ideas and concepts within a business.
Yes. If it's helpful information, I'm happy to share what I'm thinking. But after 5 years of any business, especially a solopreneur business, I think that there's a natural evolution where things are changing. And I like to be very mindful about how I spend my time and am I engaged in the things that I love and that I feel are helpful and useful, and just ways that I can be of, I guess, of better service or more service with not more necessarily more time investment, because I left that world. I left a very stressful career, working all the time, not focused on my family, not focused on my health. And so now that self-care and love of spending time with people I love. I don't know if that made a lot of sense, but those are my priorities. And then if I can have work that fuels that, all the better. And so to be able to make these changes and to see them more clearly now that I've been in the business for a little while, I think is just, again, sort of natural. I think things change and I just want things to evolve as they should, and not really stand still because things are working, because they're working fine, but I think that they could work better. And I don't know if it's going to look like all 3 sites coming together as one. In fact, I don't think it is, but I have some ideas on how to streamline things and am looking forward to your opinion, but not ready to share all the details because I don't know if it's the right answer yet.
These are the things that we'll talk about after the call.
Perfect.
So, one of the things you just talked about was kind of the intentional living of what you're going through, and you live out what you talk about. It's not like you live in a cluttered city and you talk about living life a certain way. You actually do it. And let me ask you, this is just kind of a fun question. You post a lot of pictures on your site, Be More With Less, with quotes on them. I'm pretty sure, this is a hunch that I have, most of those shots were taken by you than that you use for your own site. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say any images from the past 3 years, maybe 4 years, are 100% mine. Yeah.
With so many sites out there like Unsplash where you can get stock photography of pretty mountains and whatever, what I love about that is that these are the shots I see in your Instagram feed or on Twitter or Facebook, and they're the ones that you use on your own site. I mean, talk about eating your own dog food.
Well, and it's pretty great because I live in Utah, and I think the majority of the shots are from the state that I live in my own backyard. And I love that even though I live in a city, in 5 minutes, I can be off the beaten path or in the mountains. And then if I travel, I try to capture those shots and really appreciate the beauty of my surroundings. It's just pretty amazing that, and I think everyone has that in their own backyard to some extent. There's some beautiful things to see if we can slow down and take a look.
Yeah. Well, there's a take-home message right there. Absolutely, without a doubt. And what I will tell you is that among the thousands of reasons why I like you, there's one reason why I don't. And that is that you live in Utah and you have access to the mountains. I've visited Park City a number of times. I have friends that live up there. And I love flying into Salt Lake and taking like the 10 or 15 minute drive, literally what it feels like to get up to Park City. And so anytime you post photos of hiking and walking and mountains and snow, I dislike you.
Okay. That's fair. Although I was in Chicago in your backyard just recently, and it's gorgeous. I did an architectural boat tour, mm-hmm. and the sky, the city line or cityscape is just phenomenal there.
Now, it is interesting that in the context of downtown Chicago, and this is to your point where no matter where you are, you can stop and more or less freeze time and find something very simple about what you're doing. And even in Chicago, you can be going down an architectural boat ride, and it seems like maybe all of the people and the cars and the, you know, all the traffic and all that is kind of on the sidelines of where you are, floating down a river, probably not quite as noisy as you know people would think, and you're just looking and you're experiencing this sort of kind of simple kind of experience, and that's just another challenge to anybody, because you can be busy in the mountains and be not busy in a city. So it's really, you know, and this is what I felt about minimalism all along, is that it's kind of a personal mindset. It really isn't, a set parameter of this is what minimalism is. And I just recently wrote, just yesterday, published sort of a little bit of my prerogative on what minimalism is and why that type of lifestyle is a great way to live. And it all comes back to intentionality and what works for each person.
Yeah, that's true. But what I love about it is that it does start, or at least my journey started from the outside. So it really was about the easy stuff, which wasn't changing my mind. It was changing my surroundings. So it was about the decluttering and, you know, clearing space on the outside so that I had time to clear the space on the inside. Time and motivation.
I think it does look different for each person, but the overall, just like you said, outside coming in, inside coming out, you know, decluttering, free your mind or free your mind to declutter, you know, all of it is a much more satisfying way to live. And we all go through seasons. I mean, I'll go through 6 months to where it's very easy for me to just remove all of that. And then maybe something with work comes up where we're hustling and kind of go through a season. And I miss that simple living and non-stressed type of thing. And so then I'll kind of go back and it ebbs and flows. And I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to define minimalism for different people. But, you know, I think it's kind of different strokes for different folks, but it's all the same sort of road to somewhere, right?
Absolutely. And that just reminded me that it really never is about at least lasting simplicity. It's not because we want a clean countertop or clean bookshelves. It's always something more, like ease or peace or love or health. And Dave Bruno, the author of the 100 Thing Challenge, said one of my favorite quotes, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but it said something like, when we crave simplicity, we aren't after a simpler life, we're after life. It just sums it up perfectly. We aren't necessarily after this, you know, clean, orderly, clutter-free life. We're after life and discovering what means most to us in our lives.
That is a brilliant way to end the show. I love that. And I will look that quote up and I will put that in the show notes, by the way. So thank you for pointing that out. So in the spirit of no sidebar, we're going to cut the show off because Courtney talked about a lot of great things. And I'd rather have you check out her site, bemorewithless.com, project333.com, and courtneycarver.com. From each of those, you can admire the wonderful and brilliant site design that she has by yours truly. And speaking of that, maybe we'll have you back on in another show because I did want to kind of talk about that on this one, but we can figure that out at some point. So anyway, Courtney, thanks again for being on the show. And audience, thanks again for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing here on the podcast, the best way to support the show is to leave a rating and or a comment over on iTunes. Want more? Check out nosidebar.com and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Each week, we curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life, at work, at home, and in the soul. Until next week, this has been Brian Gardner. Thank you so much for listening.